Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Regional Roundup with Leslie Lopez, regional correspondent with the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. It's Wednesday morning. You're here with Elliot Danker and Manisha Tank. It's been a busy week in the region, ongoing protests in Indonesia and Thailand and the Philippines, managing to resolve a row which looks set to stall the country's response to the coronavirus pandemic.
But first, we turn our attention to our neighbours in Malaysia. Not only have many areas in the country have been put under a conditional movement control order, they face a few days wait to see if, well, perhaps they're going to get a new prime minister.
Again. That's after opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim met with the Malaysian king yesterday to present documentation proving his claim of a majority in parliament.
So Anwar needs at least 112 MPs in the 222-seat parliament to claim control of the House and oust the seven-month government of current Prime Minister Mahidin Yassin. Yet after the meeting, the Istana Negara said that Anwar did not produce the list of names of those backing him during a royal audience.
And according to constitutional experts, the process of appointing the Prime Minister and the subsequent formation of the government require clear proof. The king, who is now expected to make a decision in the coming days based on the evidence submitted to him, is much eagerly awaited.
Yep, and that's what we're going to get into right now with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Manisha. I'm doing good.
Busy times, my friend.
So, yes, it is.
We talked about this last week. You can only get an audience with the king if you have support. So, opposition leader Anwar Ibrahim said he had support. He had that audience with the king yesterday to discuss his claim of having majority support in parliament to form that new government. What are you hearing about what was presented to the king? I mean, the odds of us seeing a new Malaysian prime minister, what are they right now?
Well, you know, the palace has acknowledged that Anwar met and maintained that the leader only provided the total number of candidates, but not the detailed list. Anwar's people have told us that the king are letters of support from leaders of the various coalition members, meaning the DAP, Amana, and also other party representatives who are supporting him, without listing down the names. One can understand why names weren't listed down at this point, but I'm sure that's going to happen in the coming days. I think the more important thing in this turn of events is what happened overnight, because UMNO has declared it's considering pulling out of Muhyiddin's Perikatan National Coalition and wants to negotiate new terms. And this comes under intense speculation that factions allied to party president Ahmad Zahid Hamidi and also Najib Razak, the former PM, may have thrown their support behind Anwar, giving him those numbers that he claims he has the majority support. So I think the real question now is how long can the tottering Muhyiddin administration last? The king's decision to meet with various party leaders in the coming days to establish Anwar's support has only raised questions about the longevity of the Muhyiddin government. So clearly this issue has been made urgent. I think there's still a few more episodes to play out in the coming days, but a change of government and a new PM cannot be ruled out at this point.
Okay, Leslie, you've covered quite a bit of the broad spectrum of everything that's happening right now. A lot of moving parts. Before we move on to Indonesia, right, I'll give you one more episode. What will we likely hear from the former Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad? I mean, there's long been talk before Mohamed Yassin took over that it was supposed to be handed over to Anwar Ibrahim, but that got delayed. And then we hear that Dr. M is trying to form a new party of sorts. What is likely to come from him? Any curveballs are we expecting?
Well, you know, I mean, you can never underestimate Dr. Mahathir. But in this instance, I think he's been kind of isolated. His support is limited. I really think the main focus now is on what UMNO does. UMNO clearly is split into like at least four factions today. We know that two factions are rumored to be speculated to be behind Anwar. So that's going to be key. Okay. If they actually have a coming together between, you know, Anwar's coalition and UMNO, this would be something unprecedented in Malaysian politics. And clearly it will mark like a new phase in politics for Malaysia, actually. But so the coming days, like I said, we've got a few more episodes to play out before we can, you know, we can see any change of government or whether there will be a change of government at a new PM.
We do want to get on to Indonesia, but I do want to ask you just one last brief question on this.
Sure.
I'm so intrigued by this. We've got all of these cases that have come from Sabah, and this has been a new problem with coronavirus. And we're seeing this in the whole region, aren't we? The rise in cases and the rise around the world. Why is all of this happening right now? We've talked about the mechanics in this political drama, but why now? This is the worst time to have more destabilization.
Precisely. But, you know, this, a lot of the spike in infections are related to, you know, the recent state elections in Sabah, where Mr. Muhyiddin, together with politicians from Peninsula, traveled to Sabah to campaign very, very vigorously. And many suggest that it was these returning politicians, their supporters, and also people who voted there that have led to the spike in the numbers, you know, of coronavirus, of those infected by the coronavirus. So I think what all of this suggests is that there are two options before the king. Either you have a dissolution of parliament or allow for the change of control in government. What has happened in Sabah, these numbers all suggest that, you know, having a dissolution of parliament clearly isn't advised and could have disastrous effects for the country, actually.
Right. Gosh. Well, look, there are countries right across the ASEAN region that are reeling because of this pandemic. So where it's affecting Malaysian politics elsewhere in Indonesia, it's, of course, affecting the economy. But President Joko Widodo has been trying to do that with this new labor law. But more than 1,000 protesters from Islamic and student groups have come out against it. They say the legislation undermines labor rights. It weakens environmental protections. The government's standing strong on the laws. So how will the Indonesian people's concerns be addressed at this crucial time?
All we can see is, you know, just like in Malaysia, tensions are playing out in Indonesia. I don't think this is going to be resolved anytime soon. Workers, political parties against these new employment laws are really determined to get them overturned. The government, on its part, for its part, it's also determined that, you know, it has got to stick to its guns, saying that, arguing that this is really needed for the economy, especially at this time. So we're seeing two different forces at opposite ends and really no middle ground at this point. So I think we can just expect more tension in the days to come until some kind of middle ground, some kind of understanding is reached. But that seems remote at this point.
We're speaking with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez, sticking with protests this time over in Thailand. Police there have arrested several political activists. They were planning to camp out at the site of a rally scheduled for later today. And just a refresher, all these demonstrations are basically calling for the new constitution, for the removal of Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha and for curbs on the powers of the monarchy. Now, these protests have been happening, Leslie, since February, and here we are right now. Let's talk a little bit about the impact and whether or not there is going to be change anytime soon.
Well, you know, whether there will be change is unclear, but more tension is certainly on the cards. You know, we'd be expecting a much larger protest. Much larger protest today. Organizers expect something like 100,000 people to attend. That's like at least twice as many participants as protests last month. And, you know, so I think, you know, we, just like in Indonesia, you're not seeing any kind of middle ground, these tensions. I mean, the protests have grown in numbers and have become more aggressive, actually, in their responses. And it depends on how the government is going to react to this, you know. I don't think that, you know, any side is going to back down at this point. All that this means is that, you know, it's going to have a huge impact on the economy. That's expected to contract by as much as 10.4% compared to 7.6% in 1998. That was after the financial crisis. So really tough times ahead for Thailand.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Straits Times regional correspondent Leslie Lopez. Leslie, as always, thank you for your time. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Will do. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.